Want to explore the beauty of Alaska?
That's not it.
Bruce is your guy. An active kayaker, Bruce leads travelers on amazing river tours and shows them all of his favorite hidden gems. Get ready for a photo op.
Want to explore la beauté de Alaska?
Okay.
Bruce has 10 guns. Kayakers active.
Oh, God.
Bruce guide les voyageurs. Dance the excursions et tournois sur les rivières. Les montres tous ses yeux caches préférés. Prepare a tour pour un sénès photo.
Okay. All right, Colin. Don't need all three languages. Thank you.
Some content may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion advised.
Welcome.
Welcome back.
We need to get silly.
Yes.
We need to get silly. Can we speak about the gingerbread house fiasco?
Absolutely. It's mid-January, but yes.
We need to speak about the gingerbread house fiasco because I do arts and crafts with people all day long at work. That's my job, is to, I don't do things for, I do things with my residents, right? So I'm not going to string together popcorn for them and have them sit there and look at me and watch me do it. And then I go, here, you made this. That's not fun. It's not fun for anybody.
No.
But I will sit down and string popcorn with you while you do it. And I will help you with things if you need it, like threading the needle, tying the knots, finding a good piece of popcorn, you know? So when it came...
Resisting the urge to eat all the popcorn.
Literally. Anytime I was like, if you break it, you have to eat it. I told the residents that. I said, if you break a piece of popcorn, you have to eat it. It's the rule. But doing gingerbread houses with you, Annabelle, my roommate and best friend, and Nicole, our other roommate, I got an Aries, I got an Aquarius, and I got a Virgo. And we're all doing them different. Colin showed up, immediately accidentally broke all of his pieces of his gingerbread house in, like, into little bits
every
that he
piece.
Then glued together miraculously with icing. Nicole started
every
and finished
piece.
Hers before Colin even walked through the goddamn door. And then she went and got whipped cream out of the fridge and put whipped cream on her gingerbread house, and then it fell apart.
Completely covered it, like a snowstorm.
Yeah.
And then the snow made it cave in.
Yeah, it was bad. And then Annabelle worked very diligently on hers, and I was just building a shitty little hot cocoa stand, and I was not following the directions, and I was just having a good time. Who fucking cares, right?
She did it wrong, is what she's saying.
So I did it
Although
wrong.
Although yours looked the best out of all of ours.
And then it fell apart and looked like a dilapidated shack. But it really, I was just like, oh, I'm at work now. This is what I'm doing. And not like I was like bothered by it or anything. I was having a fucking blast making gingerbread houses with you guys. Just like I have a fucking blast doing crafts at work
right.
with my residents. Like, I'm going to have fun no matter what. If somebody's going to get anxious and cry about it because it doesn't look good, that's okay.
Me.
That's your prerogative.
Yeah.
And then we sat there, binge watched an hour and a half worth of Dance Moms compilations where I was catching Colin up on all the drama. And I always let him know that we were changing time. Like, in the Dance Moms timeline, I would just look at him and say, whiplash.
Thank God, because I was not
he was
up.
He couldn't keep up. Everybody has different hair. There are seven new kids. Abby's in
I'm
a fucking wheelchair.
Is that still Jill? Yeah. Jill just looks different, but she sounds the same.
Jill looks busted, bro. And then about every like 5-10 minutes, Colin would get up and rip a piece of his gingerbread house off of itself and sit back down and eat it on the couch. It was so good. It was so fun.
I
we
usually
had a joyous Christmas
fucking
time.
Hate sugar, but recently I've been having cravings like none other.
He had a gateway drug.
Maybe I'm pregnant.
I don't.
Is that how pregnancy
Colin
works?
I'm not going to be a Republican woman and ask you what you got going on inside your body, because that's none of my business. But are you truly afraid that you're pregnant?
No.
Oh, okay. Trying to be respectful
no.
here. Okay.
Funny you mentioned pregnancy
yeah.
because getting a vasectomy has been on the brain because a lot of people are doing it. And like, what if I get someone pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, how does that actually work? And Turns out they snip the tubes in your testicles, mm-hmm. which I thought it was up inside you. So the surgery makes a lot more sense. They just like make a small hole and then snip the two tubes that bring the sperm into your semen. So.
What's the issue?
The issue is you definitely cauterize the area that goes up into your body, the mm-hmm. area of the tube that goes back into your body. But some people cauterize the area that comes off of the testicle mm-hmm. and some people don't. Mm-hmm. So what I was thinking about, because they explain this as there's some complications with vasectomies. One of them is you can potentially get like buildup of semen, like in your testicles or something.
And your balls explode.
What? I don't fully understand it. This is not a medical show. I'm not a doctor. But from what I understand, just my imagination, you have your testicle and it's cauterized on the end. So semen tries to push out and it can't. And it just gets reabsorbed into the body.
Ooh.
That could potentially be an issue if it just builds up, right?
Yeah.
So what they do is they don't cauterize the testicle end. And so then your semen just spills out.
In your pee.
Into your testicles.
Oh.
Like the sack.
Bigger balls.
But then it also just gets reabsorbed. But I'm just imagining that your testicles just have semen in them. How freaky is that?
Colin. Do you know how an IUD gets placed?
Yes.
With the...
Yes, because I was freaking out about it. Because I was like, how do dicks not run into them? So I researched that like 2 weeks ago. I'm learning a lot about genital health. But I was like, that's got... Like, how do you have an IUD in there and you're shoving a penis inside?
Colin!
And how does the penis not get split up by the IUD?
Okay, there is this...
That freaks me out. And there's a string?
And you know...
And there's a string?
All right, listen.
That you can just feel?
Listen.
What?
You have two tubes of cardboard, all right?
No, I understand it now.
Oh, you understand it yes. now. Oh, yes. Okay, good. Because I was going to try to explain it to you in a very specific way.
I think you and I may have had this conversation 2 weeks ago.
Probably.
I've talked to a lot of people about IUDs in the last month.
I think... that vasectomies aren't as scary as you think they are.
It's wild to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't really have a concern about getting people pregnant. But like, I don't know. It's also like, it's so much less expensive than getting tubes tied.
If you're a woman and you want to go get your tubes tied or you want to get your uterus taken out of you, like because you don't want to have kids or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
you have to have, if you're married, you have to have permission from your husband to get your tubes tied. And if you're not married, you have to have medical reasons as to why you should be allowed to get your tubes tied.
Yeah.
Like, you have to give a whole ass fucking PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah. And this is before we talk about trans, non-binary people trying to get a hysterectomy. And
right. Anyways, balls. That's not what the episode is about.
Balls, balls, balls.
Let's get ready. So I'm going to need a little bit of everyone's worms for this one.
Absolutely.
Today. Just a little bit. It's not going to be like full worm brain. We're not doing anything crazy. But we are going to go back in time. So let's buckle up. Get in the time machine. All right. It is 1955.
Okay.
We are in Bloomfield Hills, a city just north of Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
This city is routinely ranked in the top 5 wealthiest cities in America with a population under 10,000. Rich!
Yeah.
Rich, white. That's all it is. Gentrification. Anyways, we are welcoming a little baby girl into the world.
Welcome, baby.
Welcome, baby. This baby's name is Lisa.
Lisa!
Lisa!
Not
my boss, Lisa. Oh. Love you so much. No, we're talking about a different Lisa. So Lisa was born into a privileged life. Her father was in the automotive industry, running Detroit Aluminum and Brass, which was a publicly traded family company founded by his father and his brothers in 1925. So it's the industrialization thing, the thing that we talked about with hippos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all about industrialization. And yeah, and like the automotive industry, Chrysler, Dodge, all that stuff was really popular in Detroit.
Mary Chrysler.
So Detroit Aluminum and Brass manufactured automatic transmission components and clutches and other car things that nobody gives a fuck about. But they were the only company in the U.S. to make the engine bearings for tanks used in World War II.
Fuck yeah.
Rich. Filthy. So who fucking cares? I don't know. Literally every single article that I found about this topic and about this person that we're going to be talking about brought that up.
Well, that's a lot of brass balls.
Yeah.
And aluminum balls.
Nice. Balls. Good.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to Lisa. Back to Lisa, okay?
Lisa and her balls. Her family balls. Lisa, her family jewels.
And her family jewels. So Lisa was enrolled into the same private pre-K through 12 prep school as Mitt Romney. Just a little fun fact there like, for you.
Same time, too?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Went to school with Mitt Romney.
Went to school with Mitt Romney. What a fucking bragging point or something. So her life, by like all accounts, was very, like her childhood, her growing up, was very happy, very comfortable. What a nice little life she's having. I know. What?
Is Mitt short for something?
Mitt. Mitchell.
Damn it.
Damn it. Damn it, Romney. That, yeah. That's...
It's got to be like, it's got to be in a Mitchell. Oh.
It's got to be Mitchell, right?
Mitchell Romney does not
have the same
come
ring
off the tongue, yeah, the same way as Mitt.
Mitt Romney. So her parents actively encouraged her interests, which were artistic and feminine. Quote, my dad was an art collector. My mom had a little kiln in our basement and we would make pottery. I think about from age 5 on, they sent me to art classes and I was a huge colorer. Huge. Me fucking too, Lisa. I love coloring. It's my favorite thing to do. I think to keep me quiet, they would bring the coloring books and crayons and I would fill up the books. I was totally a girly girl. I was not a jock. When I was 12, my parents got me a loom, so I was a weaver. I loved to read, I loved to do artwork, and I loved to do anything girly. Ah, Lisa. Eh. So, fast forward a few years, senior year of high school, she starts selling her artwork, right? Because she's doing all this coloring shit, weaving, whatever. So she starts selling her artwork. And by the end of her senior year of high school, she manages to earn $3,000 by selling her work.
Fuck yeah.
One of the people she sold her work to was the former CEO of Chrysler. Chrysler Automotive.
Cool.
Rich.
Which, so, $3,000 back in the day when you're 12 is like...
a lot of fucking money. She wasn't 12, she was in high school, but yeah.
Rich high schooler money.
Yeah, rich high schooler money. So Lisa is an entrepreneur, okay? We're fast forwarding to Lisa's college years. So she is attending the University of Arizona in Tucson. And she starts purchasing handmade pottery and jewelry from local Native American communities, okay? Then she would go back to Hokey Pokey fucking Michigan and sell all of the Southwest Native American items at a markup.
Of course.
Then eventually,
I don't know if I should be upset about this or not, because she's bringing art that otherwise wouldn't be easily accessible in that area to the area.
She's selling them at a markup, and I don't think she's giving a lot of money back.
But you have to charge a markup if you're going across the country to get the art and bring it to you. That's how every retail store on the planet works.
She was living in Tucson, buying all this stuff from the Native American tribes, and then going back to Michigan and selling it, and then coming back to Tucson.
Right. It's a little appropriative, but like that's how retail works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Providing something and seeing, like, she went to these tribes and she's seeing something of value. She's picking out, she's creating a collection.
Right.
She's going back home with the collection.
Yeah.
And she's selling it. So like, it sounds gross, but that's just how retail works.
Yeah. Well, then she starts telling the Native Americans what she would like to have made.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's like, I want you to start making little dogs and little horses, and I'm going to go sell it in Michigan. I don't know. I think she's kind of taking advantage of this marginalized group. But
are we clear whether it's fair trade or not?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Didn't really. The way that a lot of these articles framed it was like, oh my God, she did this and it was so smart. And I'm just like, it's a little iffy. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't really a black and white type of...
Right.
There's no clear answer to if she's actually doing something fucked up or not. You know what I mean? So Lisa goes off on her own, right? She starts creating her own designs. So we don't need the Native American people anymore. By the time she was 20, she started a plastic jewelry line called Sticky Fingers.
What the fuck?
Sticky Fingers. This got picked up by Neiman Marcus and fucking Bloomingdale's.
Sticky Fingers.
Sticky Fingers. It's charm. It's brace. It's charm bracelets.
It's like silly bands. It's a charm bracelet. 40 years earlier.
Yeah. Sticky Fingers. Neiman Marcus and Bloomingdale's. They picked it up. We're going to be famous. sticky fingers. So this collection inspired her to start making stickers and buttons.
Ah.
She's like, I can branch out. I got sticky fingers. Maker. I'm going to start making buttons. And what else did I say? Stickers.
Apparently buttons are hard to make, like if you do a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, apparently stickers were just like a new fandangled thing.
I fucking love a good
Back
sticker.
Back in the 70s. Me too.
I won't put it on anything.
But I love a good sticker.
They're so cute.
Yeah.
Last week, Annabelle got a bunch of Squishmallow stickers. And she's like, Colin, you can have one if you want. And I was like, so excited because they were all stickers, so cute. Yeah. But then I was like, no.
You're
like,
not going to put it on anything.
I'm just going to hold it for
ever
20 years and not put it on anything.
Yep.
But Sierra has one on her water bottle, is what she just showed me.
Yes. Sticky fingers. So she gets the rights for Betty Boop and Popeye to put on her sticky fingers jewelry.
Hell yeah.
And then a lot of her like own artwork designs includes rainbow and neon colors, stylized depictions of animals, including dolphins, pandas, and unicorns.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of rainbow. And a lot of neon.
Fuck yeah.
So it's 1979. Okay. We're rebranding. Actually, we're branding. We're branding ourselves. And I'm going to show you a picture, Colin. And this picture will be on the blog. And I just want your first reaction, whatever comes out of your mouth, I just want it live on the pod, please. Because when I say this name, I don't know if you're going to understand who I'm talking about. But I know that if I show you a picture, you're probably going to know who the fuck I'm talking about.
Are you going to say the name while you show me the picture?
Yes. So we are branding ourselves to Lisa Frank.
I don't recognize the picture you're showing me, but I've heard the name before.
Lisa Marie Elizabeth Frank. Do you know who Lisa Frank is?
I haven't recognized a single thing you've shown me.
Okay. Lisa Frank. This was like...
Frankly Lisa.
Frankly Lisa. She has a Lisa Dink. Lisa Dink. Lisa Frank tarot deck. That's sick. So at this point, 24 years old, Lisa Frank gets $1 million order from Spencer's Gifts.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. The original.
What's the year?
1979.
Okay.
Okay. So the original stickers that she had that she was selling at Spencer's, they incorporated designs used in the Sticky Fingers line of jewelry. So we are going back to our roots. The company's tradition began with a concept, like this is how they made their art. Then it moved to a pencil sketch before being translated to an 18 by 24 painting to await approval. Okay. Until 1989, all of the designs were airbrushed, which is crazy.
Yeah.
The process of designing each piece of art took between 9 and 36 hours to complete.
Holy shit.
Yep. And in 1987, Frank's designs moves beyond stickers to the world of fucking school supplies. And let me tell you, all right, the millennial and the cusper children will understand the absolute chokehold that Lisa Frank and her school supplies products had on us. You would get Lisa Frank shit at the book fair.
Maybe it's because I grew up as a boy.
Yeah.
That I don't understand. And I don't recognize. But I have three sisters, so you'd think that I would.
I know that I'm scratching a sister's itch right now with Lisa Frank.
What are you doing to my sister?
So,
okay. School supplies in general, Lisa Frank or not, I have some people in my life, Mia, that are just fucking obsessed.
I love school supplies. I love a good school supply. Like, I love a good pen.
I do too, but I've resorted to a very... I'll show you.
We're proving a point, everybody. We're proving a point. Colin doesn't like school supplies. This episode's going to be very niche for a few amount of people, and it's going to be not Colin. He's getting out a journal from a backpack, and he's digging around for a pen or a pencil. Welcome back to I Can't Find My Shit in My Backpack ASMR. Folks, he doesn't even have a pen. That's how much he doesn't care about school supplies. Maybe this bit isn't worth it.
No.
I love those pens. I fucking love those pens. I fucking love those pens.
Right?
They're so fucking good.
So I've
resorted to... I'll steal that pen from you right now.
So I've resorted to there will be pictures on the blog. A whatever size this is.
It's like a little smaller than an 8x11.
Yeah. Moleskin journal, which are like $20, which is crazy, but that's all I will ever use again. And the Pilot G2 0.7 millimeter nib tip.
Yep.
Line width, refillable.
So good. They're refillable?
Apparently. Ugh. But they spit out such a good line of ink. And that's all I use. That's all I use. That's all I will ever buy. But otherwise, I would probably have tons and tons of them. But I think I just resist. And there's people in my life that don't. And I love those people because I live vicariously through them. So like Mia, one of those people. She's a good journal person. Yeah. Good pens.
I have a massive journal because I really like having like a whole ass page to be able to write shit down, you know, because that's also where I write stuff down about like tarot cards and stuff that I pull for myself. But I have so much stationery at work. I love stationery. Oh, I so good. Fucking sticky notes. Every week I use a different color sticky note and I tell my assistant to use that same sticky note so that I can keep track of how long I've been putting stuff off.
That's hilarious.
Everything is color-coded in my brain. My brain is one giant calendar. I figured this out.
Science is green.
Science is... Okay, no. At work, it's different. So I have a calendar in my brain, right? Uh-huh. This has to do with stationery. This is relevant. I have a calendar in my brain, okay? And at work, programs are purple. Any programs that I put on for the residents are purple. Any outside guest programs that we have or visitors, blue, okay? Very important things, red, okay? Meetings are pink, all right? All right. Outings, green. Birthdays, yellow. Okay.
That makes sense.
Anything that I need Megan to do, or if she's like working a shift or any my assistant, anything I need her to do, orange. Okay. And I am also pink. Maybe nice. Sometimes purple.
Okay.
Okay. That's how my brain is structured out. Anyways, I love stationery. I have to have a desk calendar. I have to have a wall calendar. I have to have my calendar on my computer, and they all have to match up.
Well, that's interesting for me because I do not use a single piece of paper in my normal workday.
I know, because you're all techie and I'm all working with old farts. Oh. Anyways, let's get back to Lisa Frank. So, Lisa motherfucking Frank, the icon of school supplies for kids in the 90s and the 80s. So, the original characters of Lisa Frank designs, I guess, have remained the most popular over the years. There's like a little baby cat. There's a little baby seal. The unicorn. They're all very like brightly colored, kiddish, in your face, dreamland, cotton candy nightmares, you know? Right. So the commercial slogan, the original commercial slogan, "You gotta have it," debuted in the late 1980s.
What the fuck kind of slogan is that?
Pencils, erasers, pocket folders, backpacks, pencil cases, and the beloved Trapper Keeper, bitch. The Trapper Keeper. Let me show you a picture of this goddamn motherfucker. It is, I don't even know, I wanted a Trapper Keeper so bad. I wanted a Trapper Keeper so bad.
Okay, I've heard that word so many times, but I have no idea what it is.
I wanted a Trapper Keeper so goddamn bad. All right, let me pull one up here.
So it's a Lisa Frank original.
It's a Lisa Frank. This device. This is in Nobody stock. Nobody
else has ever created a Trapper
Keeper. A Trapper Keeper. It's on the blog.
So it's just a folder with a flap?
Yep. Yep. It's a folder with a flap, but it's a Lisa Frank folder with a Lisa Frank flap.
It's like a clutch.
Yeah.
But made out of paper?
No.
What's it made out
plastic.
Of?
Plastic.
It's like
shitty a clutch, plastic and like vinyl. So the Trapper Keeper, it's like a binder with a flap. And these.
Do you put people?
You can put pee-pee in it, you can put pencils in it.
When your paper get all fucked up, or is there a way to protect it from the other stuff?
Yeah, I'm sure.
What's the inside look like?
Oh my god. Okay.
This is such a new concept to me. I know. I have no idea
Colin's
what it is.
Learning today. I need to have...
No, I've heard that, like, I've heard that since I've been in school, I've heard that word Trapper Keeper so many times, and this is the first time I'm learning what it is, because I always assumed it was... I don't know what I thought it was. I was like, what the fuck is a Trapper Keeper?
People are making Trapper Keeper iPad cases. Go off.
What's the point then? Just get an iPad case. Wait, is it a Trapper Keeper iPad case because it has a Lisa Frank design on it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's not even like it's. Does it have a folder too?
Dude, these bitches are going for $90 on Poshmark, Trapper Keepers. Okay, so it's a binder, so you can put your pencil, your papers on the binder part, the three ring binder part. But then on the front, there's like little zippers and shit on the flap part that you can keep your pencils and your erasers and all your stickies in.
Oh, so it's a binder with a flap.
Yep. And the flap opens up.
Is the flap magnetic?
No, I don't think. I mean, it might be. It's got to be.
So it's a very small pouch. See, I thought this whole thing was like a giant clutch.
No. But bitches treated it like it was a clutch.
So it's just a. It's an icon. It's a fancy binder with a pouch for your shit.
Yep. Trapper Keeper. I wanted one. So bad.
Why?
Lisa Frank. We'll get into it. Give it.
I don't understand. I don't get it, Sierra.
And I don't get it either, because looking back at this, I'm like, what fucking unicorn vomited on this shit and started selling it? So, okay.
Lisa Frank did.
Lisa Marie Frank. Who's this? You bitch! I told you to stay. My Squishmallow sticker just came off on my blanket, and now I'm upset. Fuck you, man. Okay, anyways. So, I'm going to tell you how popular Lisa Frank is, okay? One of those Trapper Keepers recently sold for $1,000 on eBay.
Dang.
Okay. The company was raking in over $60 million a year during its peak in the late 90s.
That's a lot for late 90s.
Like, did you ever see those coloring sheets that had the felt on the black part and you would color in between the felt or like the velvet, like the faux velvet?
Wait, you're itching a memory.
And you get the shitty little marker. It's a
coloring sheet.
Yeah, it's a velvet coloring sheet. And then what you color is obviously doesn't have velvet on it. It's just paper. And you get these horrendously gross neon fucking markers with it.
So Lisa Frank is a communist is what you're telling me. Everyone has to color the same within the lines. We're just going to make felt for everything. You shouldn't color neon.
Yeah. I didn't think of it that way, but yeah, sure. If that's what you need to help you get through the story, for sure.
That's weird, but...
Like, you could color it however the fuck you want.
But also texture.
But also texture.
It's about the texture.
So, okay, between 1995 and 2005, shareholder distributions to Lisa Frank and James Green totaled more than $100 million. And I know you're going to ask me who James Green is, and I'm going to tell you in a second.
Oh, I didn't even... I glossed over
okay,
that.
Okay, great. Yeah. So... $100 million shareholder stakes.
Okay.
So Lisa Frank is extremely elusive.
Who's James Green? I don't understand. What was the sentence about James Green you said to me?
Between 1995 and 2005, shareholder distributions to Lisa Frank and James Green, because they were both CEOs,
okay,
totaled
gotcha.
More than $100 million.
Gotcha.
Now, Lisa Frank, Lisa Marie Elizabeth Frank, is very elusive. There are only two pictures of her on the internet.
Is she fake? Is she a Betty Crocker bitch?
No. Oh. This is not a Betty Crocker bitch. Lisa Frank is a real scary motherfucker. And she did like an on-camera interview and she made them blur her face or like cover her face because she didn't want to be photographed. She's like Sia or whatever. Yeah. Anyways, so who the fuck is James Green? I heard you asking me that.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is he? Well, he began working at Lisa Frank Industries. Lisa Frank Incorporated. In 1982, as the company's first in-house illustrator and designer. Congrats, okay. James. Shortly after beginning a romantic relationship with Lisa Frank, Green began to move up the corporate ladder. What's that word for... I know it's not nepotism. Is there a word for fucking and getting ahead? Sexy nepotism?
Oh, there is.
I don't think it matters that much. But nepotism. James and Lisa start fucking and he starts moving up like the Lisa Frank corporate ladder. It's covered in rainbows and fucking glitter and velvet and texture.
Texture.
So he became an officer of the business in 1988 and was named president and CEO in December of 1992. So a little less than 10 years.
Okay.
Sorry, 4 years. He moved that quickly through the ranks. So they get married in October of 1994, and they had two sons, Hunter and Forrest, named...
Ew, you're fucking serious? Hunter and Forrest?
You're going to be even more mad. Hunter and Forrest are named after two characters in Lisa Frank's multi-chromatic world, a leopard cub and a tiger cub. They were her favorite characters, so she named her kids after them. Hunter and Forrest.
And she couldn't come up with better names?
Well, that was the name of her characters, and she loves her characters, and she loves her job, so she's going to name her kids after them.
No, I'm saying for the characters.
Well, they're little...
Like, name it Bruce.
Bruce.
Like...
Nothing can get better than Bruce.
Hunter and Forrest, and they have Riot, spelled R-H-Y-A-T-T.
Like the Wyatt Hotel.
And fucking Trigger over here.
Oh, God. One of my residence dog's name is Trigger.
Yeah, but a human child named Trigger.
He barks a lot. He has no teeth. He's really cute. A human named Trigger. I'd kick it.
Yeah, I would make sure that the human named Trigger had no teeth either.
Period. Okay, anyways, so things are great between James and Lisa and Hunter and Forrest. Anyways, so things are great. And they were so rich that they drove flashy cars. They had a 12-seat private jet and a stupid neon mansion and just anything that Lisa Frank could ever fucking wish for. They had it. So at the height of her product's popularity, at the height of Lisa's product's popularity, she relinquished all of her day-to-day management duties to James in order to raise her children. She was like, you go hang out at the company. I'll hang out at home with the kids. It'll be great. We're married. You can't possibly fuck this up. Unless. So shortly after her sons were born, each of her sons were born, Lisa Frank made gifts of her stock in her company to James, her husband, in what would amount to 49% of the shareholdings in Lisa Frank Incorporated, okay? So James Green sucks, all right? He, in sworn affidavits in a lawsuit against Green, 16 people attested to his shitty management style.
Ah,
what a shocker.
That.
He was prone to fits of rage and loud profanity-laden outbursts in which he would publicly berate people. And this is where I'm going to go on a little rant.
In a children's book, children's coloring and... shit, company.
It's gonna get even better, Colin. You're gonna be so mad. So, I love the argument that women are emotional. Because have you ever seen a pissed off straight white man? Have you ever seen one of them act away anyway? God, the amount of men that I have dated that have punched holes in walls because they were mad about something so fucking minor. Get over yourself, you little bitch baby boy. Come on. Grow up.
Amen.
Anyways, several people also witnessed him throwing chairs and other objects. Our boy James.
Love that.
And as you just said, over a bunch of Technicolor baby animals and children's stationery. We're getting that mad? For what? What are we so mad about?
What are we mad about? That the leopard isn't cute enough this week?
I guess.
Their new
There's
character.
Not enough sparkles in the eyes of the leopard, of the baby snow leopard.
I'm going to berate you for not using enough velvet on this one.
You're giving the kids too much freedom. Stop. More velvet. So let's talk about Rainbow Hell, because that's what we're in. Here's a quote. The inability to nurture and retain personnel is a continuing problem at Lisa Frank.
Ah.
Unquote. That was in a court document. There are lots of rules at the Lisa Frank store company.com. According to former employees, the office was a place of silence and coworkers were not allowed to speak to one another. Don't you fucking dare talk about this baby seal or I'm going to be so mad at you.
What the fuck?
Yeah. No talkie-talkie. Management secretly and illegally recorded a lot of their phone calls. Isn't that so fun? Let's talk about the headquarters where this all took place. So this is a 320,000 square foot building in Tucson. It features giant multicolored music notes, hearts, and stars on it.
With coworkers inside not talking.
A prison, a literal prison. oversized fiberglass character statues of Lisa's favorite characters. And near the entrance is a large silver unicorn sculpture that's missing its horn. So it's just a horse. But it used to be a unicorn, all right?
Oh my God. Rainbow liminal space.
Yep, rainbow liminal space.
Rainbow hell, yeah.
So the building and land are listed for lease or sale at a reduced price of, would you like to take three guesses of how much they're trying to sell this?
$60 million.
No.
$60 billion.
No, lower.
$60.
No, $13.25 million.
Okay.
For Rainbow Purgatory.
Yeah.
So there's also a fireproof vault that held thousands of their ideas and copies.
On paper?
On paper.
Right.
Before it was digitized, yeah. Right? And I'm just, like, wondering, like, who is trying to, like, Bond villain sneak in and steal all of the Lisa Frank designs from their headquarters.
Probably Frisa Lank.
Ugh, Frisa Lank.
The Chinese knockoff.
Oh, God. Anyways, so, frankly speaking, this is... Frankly speaking, is
frankly
it?
Speaking.
It's a real thing. It's an inter-office bi-monthly publication, and it was.
Oh,
and it was
I
now
you were
being
starting a sentence.
Nope, it was
frankly
now.
Frankly speaking,
is a publication.
Okay,
sent out to everybody that works for Lisa Frank.
Okay.
Okay, and it informed employees of how they were to behave regarding James Green.
Okay,
like how they were expected to interact.
And who
with
wrote
James
this?
Green.
James Green,
probably. So, memos were circulated with new, increasingly restrictive company policies. At the Lisa Frank Technicolor store. Let's just remember where we are, folks. All right? We're in Tucson, Arizona, and there's fucking rainbows everywhere, and I feel sick. It's making me dizzy.
Me too.
So, no visitors, including family members, were allowed.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Lisa Frank, not yeah. fucking
Lisa
NSA.
Federal Penitentiary.
Jesus Christ.
Lisa Federal Penitentiary. So, what was the penalty if you broke any of these rules? Verbal abuse, name-calling, screaming, automatic termination, and even more bizarre restrictions. One time, after discovering that someone left the office 10 minutes early, an enraged James Green instructed the warehouse manager to put chains and padlocks on all the downstairs doors so that the staff can't escape.
That's literally not legal.
At Lisa Frank, what is so goddamn important about a bunch of children's stationery? Rainbow dolphins.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god, Sierra. What the fuck?
Here's another quote from another employee. I personally heard Lisa Frank scream at sales managers and threaten their lives if they messed up a presentation.
As in James Green. James Dean.
James Dean. So quitting is hard, right? Quitting.
James Dean breakfast.
Quitting that place has to be hard.
Coloring books.
But Lisa Frank is harder. The company allegedly failed to give promised severance packages, fought unemployment benefits, and former employees had to sue for their final paychecks or sales commissions.
I'm not surprised at all.
But who's to blame, right?
James fucking Dean.
James
breakfast
fucking,
sausages.
James fucking Dean breakfast sandwiches.
Sausages.
But there's also another person that we can kind of put the blame on here. And this is the company's vice president, Rhonda Rowlett. Rowlett?
Like roulette, but different.
R-O-W-L-E-T-T-E. Rowlett. So she had been with the company since 1984 and was James Dean Breakfast Sandwich's right-hand man.
Woman. I fucking love the name Rhonda.
Rhonda?
Oh.
Yeah. You're not going to like Rhonda after this.
Okay.
So James uses her to maintain control of the Lisa Frank employees because apparently they're all feral. They're not allowed to talk. They have to just draw these silly little animals all day. It's just bizarre to me. Like, it's such a contrast. Anyways, so she often threatened the jobs of employees while simultaneously being screamed at by James. So she's threatening them. He's threatening her. She's just in the middle.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
What a poor woman.
I know. And like, James was constantly calling her fat and stupid all the time.
Oh, no.
Like, it was just so mean. But, like, why do they suck so bad, Colin? What makes these people suck so bad?
Is Lisa, like, Lisa actually secretly the mean one behind this whole thing? She's actually the evil one? No.
Kind of, but no.
Okay. What?
Cocaine.
Ah!
Quote, there would be days when James would come down to the art department, super sweaty and paranoid, and just, like, walking really fast back and forth through the design area. And there was nothing to be stressed about. It was just a regular day. This man is coked out of his brains at the Lisa Frank factory.
I mean, you kind of have to be. You, like...
I guess, yeah. But also, like...
If you're that guy, you better be coked out.
Rumors also started going around. We got some rumors going around now. Between employees saying that the drug use had been going on for years. And there were also rumors that Rhonda and James were...
Fucking
banging on the side.
Ah.
According to a man named Kobe Miller, who
that's
was
a name I hate.
No. K-O-B-I.
I hate that
Miller.
Name.
He worked for
Rhonda with an H or without an H? Absolutely.
But fuck great Kobe.
Kobe? What?
Absolutely what? Not. Kobe beef.
Exactly. Like, it's too close to other things. Cubby.
Okay.
Colby.
Yeah. Kobe.
It feels like you missed something.
Kobe. You know. Anyways, so Kobe Miller, who Colin fucking hates, worked for Lisa Frank for over 10 years. Quote, my wife and I were shopping at a Tucson mall over 4th of July weekend in 2005 and stopped by the Lisa Frank retail store in the mall. What a fucking thrilling 4th of July activity.
Especially when you work for them.
Yeah. We were surprised to see James and Rhonda together in the store on that 3-day weekend. We had
they are all at the store? What is this, Harry Potter school shopping day?
Yeah. We had a short conversation with James. After we left them, we both thought it strange that they would be together and that Rhonda acted sort of caught off guard at seeing us and acted uncomfortable. We wondered why James wasn't with his family and Rhonda wasn't with her husband on a holiday weekend. Something wasn't right. Mm-hmm. So at some point, our girlie, Lisa Frank, catches wind of this little affair that's going on and files for divorce in September of 2005. And according to court documents, Lisa stated that after a while, James and Rhonda formed a close personal bond and secret partnership. Apparently, her and Frank had like a pretty tumultuous relationship. It's probably all the cocaine, honestly. And Lisa was looking for a way out. And according to one former employee, years before she filed for divorce, she would test the divorce. She would test the waters by regularly asking the staff, if James and I divorced, would you stay with the company?
Oh my God.
How sad.
Oh my God.
How sad. So James and Rhonda were putting pressure on people to pick a side. They're like, you either need to be Team James or Team Lisa at the Lisa Frank company. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
So James was telling people that if the company splits up, he's going to start his own company. And he was trying to like recruit people from the Lisa Frank company.
Great.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
So on the other side, Lisa was doing some virtual digging, some virtual FBI, if you will. James had claimed that Lisa Frank hired an outside IT consultant to provide her with direct access to all company emails, which she used to monitor their communications and delete and redirect emails. So she's like, I'm working from the inside. This is my fucking company. 51%, remember? I only gave you 49. On the other side of that, so she's hiring people to come in and look at emails, delete emails, redirect, all that stuff, check up on the communications. James gets pissed that she's doing that, but James was constantly asking to have IT bug the employees' phones. So we're kind of...
Yeah.
We're kind. And also, he admitted in court that he stole 6 computers from the company. So
for what? It's literally your fucking company.
And also,
you're not like.
Also, let's think about the content here. Remember where we're at? Rainbow Hell. We are all fucking up in arms about a child's stationery company.
You stole 6 computers.
Yep.
From your. What did he do? Sell them?
I have no idea.
Just to make an extra buck?
I have no clue. So Lisa also got a restraining order against James to protect her employees and the company. And she arrived at the headquarters with police who escorted James, Rhonda, and Rhonda's assistant from the building. Period.
Bam.
Lisa Frank is now the head. She's the CEO with the most, you know, the mostest of Lisa Frank Inc.
How old are the kids at this point? Math.
I don't want to do it.
We did math last week. We're not doing it this week. I'm not doing it.
So the bad man is gone. But what does this mean for Lisa, right? Well, she had a few ideas. All right. The Fantastic World of Lisa Frank theme park. A clothing line and TV shows. Because she considered herself a competitor with Walter Marie Disney.
Okay.
But we can't do any of that because we're going to be in court for the rest of our lives.
Jesus.
With our shitty fucking husband.
Literally the rest of her life.
So I'll rise. We're going to court. A lot. here's a brief list of her court days, okay? So Lisa Frank versus James Green in September of 2005. That was to get divorced. And then James Green versus Lisa Frank in September of 2005. So two court cases. It's a counterclaim. He claimed that he created all of the company's content, including the 400 original characters and themes.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so you're he's like, that's
fucking
mine.
Fucking prick.
That's mine. I made that. You didn't make that. Well, I made that.
He was working as like a...
He was working as CEO, no, but...
No, but before that, he was a designer.
Right. Right. So, like,
it... So, it is possible he created some of them, but...
Some of them, but I think most of it came from Lisa.
Like, how else is she gonna, you know...
Yeah.
What the fuck? Okay.
Then, there is Rhonda Rowlett versus Lisa Frank, Inc., in March of 2006. She sued Lisa for $2 million plus damages, claiming it was what she often was promised as a severance if she were to ever get fired or retire.
By who? James Dean?
Yeah, James Dean breakfast sandwiches, probably.
What the fuck? Okay.
We have LFI, Lisa Frank, Inc., versus James Green and Rhonda Rowlett in April of 2006. So we have been doing court for 6 months.
Okay.
Okay. LFI alleged that James and Rhonda, along with Rhonda's husband Jerry, stole 5 truckloads of company property and converted corporate funds for their personal use.
I kind of believe that.
Children's stationery.
Yeah. But it's Lisa it's Frank. The money. It's not about.
Like, yeah, I know, but it's silly. That's yeah. That's where the money's coming from, and you guys are so angry and mean and hateful towards each other. Go color a sheet. God. It might make you feel better. You know? So then we have James Green versus Lisa Frank and LFI. Lisa Frank, Inc., in August of 2006. James wanted $16 million to repay a loan for that private jet he bought.
Okay.
And it was dismissed. They said, well, you fucking bought it.
Oh, my God.
It's your loan. And then we have Jerry Rowlett, so Rhonda's husband.
Uh-huh. Why is he involved?
he sued for punitive damages in regards to allegations that he stole and converted company property.
Okay.
That suit was also dismissed. And there were many, 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 many others.
Jeez, their lawyers were busy.
Yep. So on top of all of that, James and Lisa spent the better part of 8 years fucking throwing legal hands over like the smallest shit when it came to their divorce. Like furniture, family photo, like very small things that shouldn't be going to court, you know? And as recently as January 2013, they were still bitching at each other through the legal system.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's crazy, right?
They are the reason that our court system is so slow.
Yeah, because Lisa Frank will not give it up. She will not let go. So now what? Well, there's a small light at the end of the rainbow tunnel, Colin. All right? Lisa Frank entered into a relationship with Urban Outfitters to sell t-shirts that she designed exclusively for the retailer using some of her classic illustrations. In addition, they sold her excess stock of vintage stationary pieces. Trapper Keeper.
They're like, hey, I have this trailer full of shit.
Yeah.
Can you sell it?
Please, Urban Outfitters.
Nobody else will take yeah. a contract with
And
me.
Urban Outfitters said, you know what? Yeah, give me that garbage. I'm going to sell it for 3,000% more, you know? Despite the partnership being an apparent success, Urban Outfitters ended its apparel deal with Lisa Frank, and nobody knows why. So, but we found God in a rainbow place.
God?
Yep. James Green found God.
What is... What?
Yep. So Lisa's doing her own thing. She's getting Urban Outfitters dealers. And James Dean Breakfast Sandwiches is finding God.
Is he, like, preaching or some shit?
Well,
he's not preaching.
He was previously Jewish and then converted to Christianity. And he sells religious-based stationery and t-shirt designs on his website, jameschristianman.com. So this is also where he shared his poetry, photography, and sculptures. So he's being a creative little God guy.
Okay.
Uh-huh. He also...
Okay, I don't know if he's still yelling at people and throwing shit at people.
He probably is. He also founded a business called Salvation LLC a few months after leaving Lisa Frank. And guess who his VP is?
Rhonda.
Rhonda!
Yeah, Rhonda. You go with your awesome name.
Salvation LLC has registered a couple dozen trademarks on designs and slogans. So he's doing his own thing. So 2022, Lisa Frank. Let's talk about her. You can still buy all of her Technicolor crap on her website, of course. They have collabed with Orly Beauty. Okay, don't know who that is. Blend Jet. Don't know who that is. Loungefly. Don't know who that is. And Pillsbury. Lisa Frank cookies. I know who that is. Lisa Frank cookies. They're real. They're a thing. There was also a Lisa Frank X Friends clothing line, and it was only available for one fucking day.
What?
Yeah. So Lisa Frank and the TV show Friends did a collab and made a bunch of clothes, and it was only on sale for a day.
Did they sell out or something?
I don't know. I think it was like limited edition.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. So apparently there's a special Lisa Frank.
But that's perfect. That's like two nostalgic things
yeah. That
people would know about. It like Friends and Lisa Frank those would be on the same era. Timeline.
Yeah.
So fuck yeah. That makes sense.
Marketing. So there's a special Lisa Frank ink made by her, specifically by her, so that everything would be brighter. And everyone that she collabs with has to sign a confidentiality agreement because the mixture is a closely guarded secret.
Gotcha.
Okay. There's also a Lisa Frank app, Pick and Share. It allows users to put Lisa Frank stickers on their photos. How fun.
Cute. Mm-hmm.
Here's the last little tidbit we're going to get into.
Okay.
Lisa Frank is the same age as my mom. That's one thing I can't get behind. Second thing. Lisa Frank gets her biggest inspiration from one of her characters that she drew. It's a white baby cat called Priscilla.
Priscilla.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But there are a lot of allegations out in the world right now, especially when it comes to small independent artists, because small independent artists will use this color palette that's very neon, it's very bright, it's very vibrant, with then very contrasting dark black aspects to it, which is what Lisa Frank is fucking known for. The velvet, the texture, you know? And so these independent artists are making these beautiful drawings, either digitally or in real life, and they have like the neon purple, the neon blue, the neon green, the neon pink, the neon yellow, and fucking Lisa Frank is out here copywriting these bitches and claiming that they're stealing her work when it's their work that they created and hand-painted and handmade.
That's...
Yeah, you
that's
don't own fun. The rainbow, Lisa!
Like, if your closely guarded secret is four colors and black, like, you're not doing anything different than right. These artists.
Right, exactly. And that's like, their whole point. They're like, you can't say that my work is poached off of your work if we're just using the same colors. You know what I mean? So let's talk about this independent artist that we're just going to get into just a little bit, and then we'll be done with Lisa Frank, okay? Because this is nuts. So there's an independent artist. Their name is Amina Mukiolo, and they are known for their vibrant home decor. That's like their whole thing. And Amina accused Lisa Frank and Hotels.com of copying their designs without crediting or compensating them. So Amina had this like bright Technicolor house. It was like Cotton Candyland fucking house, right? Okay. And their kitchen was vibrant. Everything was just crazy rainbows. Like that's how they did it. And they post a picture of their kitchen in 2017 and it fucking pops off. It goes viral. We get tons of views. And their style and their artwork was noticed by the Lisa Frank Instagram account. Lisa Frank followed Amina, commented on their post, reposted their post, and sent them DMs several times in 2017 and 2018.
Okay. So they're obviously showing they like it.
Yeah. In early October of 2018, Hotels.com announced that it was partnering with Lisa Frank for a hotel pop-up in a penthouse suite designed with this rainbow Lisa Frank vomit. Okay?
Okay.
So reservations for this Lisa Frank flat, that's what it's called, sold out in under an hour. And immediately, Amina's fans started posting side-by-sides of the Lisa Frank flat and Amina's house.
So
very identical.
Lisa Frank stole from Amina.
Mm-hmm.
Are you fucking serious?
I'm serious. So.
Oh my God.
Almost everything was identical. Obviously, like some of the colors are going to be a little different and it's not going to look exactly the same, but they had the same tables, they had the same chairs, they had the same colors on the cabinets. They had, I mean, like everything. And Amina was invited to have a first look, quote unquote, at the hotel and realized it was housed in their apartment building sister facility across the street.
Jesus fuck.
So Lisa Frank ran out of ideas. Yep.
And is like, oh, this person's doing something with the same color palette. Yep. Therefore, it's my idea. Therefore,
I can steal it and I can make it my own and I can
That's not artistry at all. There's no artistry. Right. If you're like, what apartment building is it in?
Get her.
What furniture?
Get her.
Like, that's not art.
Yep.
You are copying and pasting.
Yeah.
You are just stealing someone's art.
Yep.
And then making money off of it.
Yep.
You are scraping an artist's work and recreating it as your own and saying it's your own and not giving a cent to the fucking artist.
No better than a damn computer. Anyways, so then a bunch of shit happens with Amina's apartment building and something about rent. I didn't really like read too much into it, but basically Amina gets evicted. They're not accepting their rent payments anymore. They're like evicting everybody out of the building. And Amina believed that they were being evicted because of the Lisa Frank Hotel. Their landlord like wanted them out before the launch of that whole thing.
What the fuck? So do they have to like undo their apartment?
I have no idea. That's the end of my story.
Oh my gosh.
So fuck Lisa Frank. I was pro Lisa Frank, and then I wasn't, and then I was again, and now I'm not. Out here copyright claiming independent artists just because they use the same colors. And, like, posts on Twitter get taken down daily because Lisa Frank claims them to be hers, and they're taking her work. But then she goes and turns around and does the same exact fucking thing to a small creator. Isn't that so fun? Corporate capitalism. Anyways, that's my story about Lisa Frank. Did you have fun? Are you mad?
So mad.
Yeah, I figured as much.
What a cunt. What a fucking cunt. I'm sorry. But
yeah, fuck Lisa Frank. Glitter, gooping, gagging at the gig.
How, as an artist, do you do that? I mean, I realize she's obviously run out of ideas. She has no more ideas.
No more ideas. Well, and here's the thing, especially with this whole resurgence of nostalgia and Y2K coming back and all that crap, Lisa Frank could have made a fucking smash back into the world, especially when it comes to influencers and social media and creators and all that crap. And she tried her goddamn darndest, I'll tell you that much, because she did release a collection with Morphe, which is a very popular makeup brand that I really enjoy using. I love Morphe, but a lot of questionable people have collaborated with Morphe. Jeffree Star, James Charles, all the popular influencers that are out there right now just being a little sketchy, you know?
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to see, like, she could be riding this wave of nostalgia, but she's choosing just to fuck herself over and steal people's work or, like, accuse people of stealing her work. Silly goose.
Oh my gosh. I'm so disappointed.
Well, that was fun. Did you have fun? I had
so much fun.
Oh yeah, he had so much fun. All right, we've done two of these in a row. We're exhausted. We're going to go the fuck home. I am home. I have to go take a shower.
I have to run home.
Yeah.
I'm like late already.
Oh man. Okay, well, thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed listening about Lisa Frank, give us 5 stars. It's not for our egos. It's just so that we can get more people to listen to us. We're on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and anywhere you listen to fucking, what is this, a podcast? Anywhere you listen to podcasts, that's where we are.
So fast.
And join us next week when we talk about
bye.